right. Thank you guys very much for being a part of this. It's been very fantastic. Last week, I said I had a very big announcement to make during during today's call. So at the end of today's call, I am going to be revealing something kind of big, which is important for you. It does directly affect everything that you do in your life every single day, as far as you know. So stick around for that if you can. If you have to split early, then definitely come back and listen to the recording so you can get that information. So today, perfect banter. So the first thing I'm going to go over here is, I can't see any questions. Brad, you can probably see questions, but I can't today. Okay. So if there are any questions, if you guys have any questions at all during this time, make sure if you're on your phone, you press *2. And Brad will see your hand go up, and we can unmute you, and you can chat with us for a second. And if you're listening online, you want to go ahead and type your question right into the Q&A box there, and it will automatically come to us, and we can, you know, go through and see whichever questions we can answer that are on topic, and then usually go over some off-topic questions later on. Brad, do we have any questions kind of queued up right now?
Yeah, we do have one question.
Okay. Well, hold on that for just a second, and we'll get into that. I'm going to talk a little bit about what I went over last time, and then we'll go into that question before we get into the banter section here.
Okay.
So last call, we went over something called dropping state. And this is essentially where we are talking about two things here. One is that dropping state can be your self-dropping state, meaning that your energy is dropping and you begin to sort of have a more negative outlook on things.
We have a hand up. Sorry, Joshua.
Oh, we do? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we can wait just a second, and then I'll get into that. So.
Okay.
So when we are out at a bar, let's say that you're out at a bar and you're talking to somebody, and something goes kind of wrong, what ends up happening typically is you begin to have sort of a downward spiral of negative thoughts, and as you sort of spiral downward, what most guys do is they try to fight that by having conversation with women to sort of boost their momentum. But the problem is that when you come and you start talking to a woman and you're spiraling downward, you're bringing like a negative energy into the conversation. And so that makes things worse. And then women don't want to talk to you all of a sudden. And then your night gets worse. And then before you know it, you're like pissed off and wanting to get drunk and leave or something and get in an argument with some chick about politics, you know, or feminism or something. And that is called dropping state for yourself. That's when you drop state. So we went over how to keep yourself from dropping state and what to do if you have dropped state yourself. But more importantly, I think, and what a lot of guys really got into in the last call, was how to keep a girl from dropping state when you're talking to her. So if you're chatting up a girl and you've gone through the different stages of the map of interaction with her, you've gone through attraction, you built some rapport, you started getting sort of sexual and masculine with her, and you're now at a place where, you know, you're making out or you're touching a lot and it's very sensual, then, and you're like, okay, well, let's go back to my place. You have a time between when you leave the bar and when you are arriving at your place that you need to sort of keep her up, right? And if she drops down during that time, then you sort of lose all the work that you've done during that whole evening. And it can be sort of disastrous if you do that. So, and not just for you, but for her too. Women don't like that either, that, you know, they want to feel that exciting, fun, playful, you know, experience just as much as you do. So, we talked a little bit about how to keep her state up as well, and how to sort of keep her in that, sort of, there's two ways of doing it we talked about. One is to ramp it up and use like high energy and keep her state up really high and playful and fun and exciting. Usually, really quick kind of one night stands or you know, if you meet like a party girl who's totally down to hang out with you afterwards, then those are the kind of environments the kinds of sort of state boosting experiences you want to have. Get into the car, turn like a music on and like dance and laugh and play the whole way back. But if you are, the other way to do it is to build really serious deep rapport while you're in the car. So that essentially allows you to, keep her state up by, just getting closer to her, connecting with her more, and having more sort of an emotional conversation with her, and continuing the rapport along in the car so that when you get back to your place, it's a natural transition from talking about something serious and being really like open and emotive in your conversation in the car to being really sensual and seductive when you get back to your place. So we talked about that, and a little bit about bar walking and a couple other things. And like I said, today we're going to be going over sort of formula for building perfect banter. It's not as straightforward as a lot of the other formulas you may have heard because it's a very fluid process and you have to be able to think quickly on your feet. So we're going to go over sort of a couple of exercises to figure out how to use banter. Most of them are group exercises, so you guys won't be able to do them on this call right now, but I do strongly suggest that you spend some time meeting up with some of the other guys in the DAO community who live near you. You can find them if you click on the map in the DAO community. And those guys who live near you can use these exercises with them, and you can train them and they can train you how to use perfect banter. If I didn't practice bantering a lot and I wasn't around people who were wittier and smarter and funnier than I was, then I would never be able to do what I do with banter. And so you really need to sort of one up or level up rather your banter abilities. And the only real way to do that is to hang out with people who are much wittier and know how to banter a lot better than you. That way you sort of try to keep up with them in a natural, normal conversation. And because you're spending so much time trying to keep up with them, you essentially are able to subconsciously learn banter techniques really, really quickly. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. That's how I learned. I learned by hanging out with people who were really, really witty, and went through a few stages that I'll talk a little bit about later on if we have enough time. But either way, we're going to talk a lot about how to banter and what the proper way to do it is, and of course, it's all in the delivery here. So, Brad, did you? You said you had a hand up now, and you have a question as well. You want to go ahead and take one of those?
Yes, I will unmute our friend Lance.
Okay.
Gentlemen.
Hey, Lance, are you there?
Hey, I'm here.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Not too bad.
Cool.
I had a question which you sort of may answer in the future in this call, but. Let's say a guy goes on a blind date or a first date off the web.
Mm-hmm.
So he's coming in pretty cold, and banter, I imagine, would be his first sort of A1 sauce to soften things up. What would be? Is there a good formula, or as you just stated, it's not as well prescribed? But when you're going in and you're going to use banter, how do you move out of banter into rapport? And is there a quick, like if you're stressed or nervous, is there a quick way for a guy to know, almost like a mnemonic, like I use TLC, touch, linger, and contact for the stages.
Right, temporary, so, lingering, and contact, yeah. Constant, you mean? Yeah. Those are the threes. Yeah.
Excuse me tonight, I have a bad headache.
That's okay. No, I understand. No, you've said it before, so I know you know it. But
you know, is it? I wonder if we could do like a mnemonic, like banter, rapport, something like that, just to remember.
Well,
so if you don't get too much banter, you start to look kind of cheesy.
Right. Well, the difference here is that you're coming off of a meeting up with someone off of an online service, let's say. The difference here is that there's already a level of attraction, because she's curious about you enough to come and want to come and see you, right? So when you talk to her, all the messages you send plus your profile have made her curious. And it's very likely she's already gone through your entire attraction process when you weren't even there, right? So that's one of the scary things about profiles for online dating, is that your profile can say the wrong thing and then you won't attract women, right? So it's really, really important that you get your profile down properly.
Well, my question wasn't directed just at web. I'm just saying banter as a tool to warm up a connection with someone that you don't know that well. You could have met him online. It could be a blind date. It could be someone you only talked to real briefly and met him again.
Right. And that's what I mean. If you have some sort of an introduction already, the attraction process typically happens. I mean, it's so much faster than people think it is. Most guys think that attraction takes 30, 45 minutes, sometimes an hour to really build up. But really, it's usually done within the first 5 minutes. I mean, you've got attraction in the first 5 minutes. And if you do it right, you can breeze through it really fast, you know? So if someone has is predisposed to you in the first place, like they already have some kind of previous knowledge of who you are, and they have some kind of it's like an introduction, but you're not there, so to speak. Like they know that you exist. As soon as you become a blip on the radar of people that exist in the world to them, they're going to start moving forward to this process, whether or not you're there. So this is why the reason why I'm saying this now is because it affects how I'm going to answer this question. When you meet up with somebody who's already heard about you, you don't go into banter immediately. This is really counterintuitive for a lot of people because you're not actually in the attraction stage anymore. The latest that you could, or the earliest place you could possibly be is qualification, right? Which is the last stage of attraction. So instead, what I would do and what I have done and what I find is across the board with other guys that I know that do this a lot and do a lot of online dating and meet with women, you know, for the first time they meet up with women, they have a specific process, and I've seen it cross-referenced for many, many guys that are really, really good at this. One of my very good friends is a guy named Kelly Kellum, and Kelly wrote a book a while ago called Window Shopping for Women, and that was his, like, how to meet women on social networking sites, essentially. And he and Race the Priest is the other guy, and they both had a really, really brilliant way of putting this. Basically, what they would do, and I've seen them do this before, and it's really, really perfect, is as soon as they see the girl, they said, you have about a 20-second window to do something that will make them feel comfortable. If you don't do something that makes them feel comfortable in those 20 seconds, you're now going to fight with them the whole way to the bedroom. Like, they won't let you in. It's going to be really, really difficult to get them down there. And most of the reason why is because during that 20 seconds, the first 20 seconds you see them, they have all these things going through their head, like, oh my God, is he judging me because I'm going on a blind date? Is he judging me because I was on an online dating site? Well, he was too. He shouldn't really be judging me. And then now they're in their heads, like, already, like, deciding who you are and, like, how good of a guy you are and everything. So what they would do is they would go, oh my God, Angie. Like, they'd just throw their arms out. They'd be like, what's going on? And they'd give them a big hug and they'd be like, come in. Like, it was an old friend you haven't seen in a year. And they would just hug them and go, come on in. Awesome. Do you want a drink or you good? And just total friend land. Like, so counterintuitive, right? You'd think that that would actually be a bad thing. But because they already have the attraction, if you assume that you already have the attraction when you meet up with them, they'll tap back into it again. And they'll bring it with them into the conversation and the interaction. And they'll sort of have this free feeling like they already know you, right? So it's not a weird thing to them anymore, and you relieve all their fears. So it's a lot more advanced than just kind of jumping up and bantering. Once you get them into a place where they're comfortable and they're chill, that's when you start adding in a little bit of playful stuff before you dive into deep rapport, you know? So it's kind of like you meet them, you accept them fully, like, come on, you give them a hug, like, oh, it's so nice to see you, come on in. You know, do you want a drink? Do you want to sit inside? You know, or we can go over here to a bar too, so we can do that later. Whatever you want. So just let me know if you need anything, any water, anything like that. You know, how was your drive? Whatever it was, you know? And you just chat really, really light rapport just for a second and get them into a trance, right? So they're like, they get into this, like, oh, I'm talking to a friend, right? As soon as they feel that, then flip on the banter, right? As soon as you see them settle down and get comfortable, turn the banter on. When you turn the banter on, then go through the process perfectly as if you just met them, and you'll be fine. But if you don't, and you jump in straight with banter, you're going to come across looking like you're more nervous than they are. And that's what happens to a lot of guys, is they come in. But the reason why they're coming in with banter is because they forget that she already knows that you exist. And therefore, she's not in that stage anymore. She probably isn't even in the attraction stage anymore. She's probably in a different,
you know. That's interesting, because I just joined this website on a whim. I'm having my floors redone, so I'm stuck at home with all these work guys, and I was goofing on the iPhone. It's a site called How About We?
Yeah, and I know the owner of that site.
You know that site?
Yeah, I know the owner, yeah, when they started that site.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I just joined it on a whim, and I had like three or four really hot babes respond in the first week, and I just went on one date, and before I met her, she was already emailing me saying, why don't you find a place with a nice couch so we can sit and talk? And she put a little smiley. So she was already into me before I met her.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so I'm just trying to learn from that recent experience, because I think I'm going back to some web stuff, which I haven't been out of that loop for a while.
Right. Right. And that's like and I totally understand where you're coming from on that, because it's really a big, it's a big question mark for a lot of guys. So totally normal that you would have kind of that question, and it is kind of a little bit more of an advanced question anyway. And the answer to that really is to like embrace them fully and then turn around immediately and go to the banter after they feel comfortable, you know, because you're not in the same situation as you are whenever you're, you know, when you're at a bar and there's a bunch of guys competing for their attention and all this other stuff. You're not having that same kind of process anymore. Now, instead, you have her full attention and everything. But, however, of course, you have a whole other series of things to deal with, and that's all the chatter going on in her own head, right? So you're not competing with other guys anymore. Instead, you're competing with the voices in her head. So you got to make her feel comfortable first. As soon as she feels comfortable, like you're a friend, and she can trust you, then bounce back out, do that banter, be silly, playful, fun, and then punch through to a little bit of rapport, get straight to seduction, and you're good. You can do that. You can go through the entire process in 15 minutes after you meet her, if you do it right. If you don't do it right, it could take you, it could never happen, obviously, but it could also take you, you know, 6 hours of like long, drawn out, deep conversation of about crap that you really don't care about, you know, that kind of stuff.
Damage control.
And exactly, yeah. And a lot can go wrong. The more moving parts you have, the more can go wrong. And you don't want it to go wrong, so.
Well, I think a key takeaway from what you stated was, first of all, just assume attraction has occurred.
Yes.
And move into making a familiar, common feeling between the two of you.
Exactly. Perfect. That's exactly what I mean. So.
And then bounce in and out of banter until.
Until you see that attraction spiking, you know? When you see her start to laugh and be playful and silly and, like, feel kind of, like, girly, then, and you know it, and she's like, you know, you can turn your back. When you turn your back away from her, she turns her body to face you a little bit without being able to control it. Whenever that happens, then you're ready to go into rapport. Then you just, like, turn it straight into rapport. She feels relieved that now you like her and, like, you're getting to know her more, and she just feels so excited to move forward with you. And that really is the best way to do it. So, so yeah, thanks for asking that question, Lance. I appreciate it, man.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Later.
See ya. Brad?
Yes.
Why don't we go ahead and take that next question as well?
All right. Here's an easy one, actually. Are these calls available after the event? Blah, blah, blah.
No.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I guess they are then. Oh. No.
Yeah. Robert, just check your email from for an email from me, Brad. I think it says Brad-DaoofBadass. And I usually update you guys on when the calls are available as downloads on the Founding Members Club download page.
Yeah, it should be available to you forever. So just as you get in there, I mean, you guys are all founding members. So anyone, founding members get special privileges as well as special content. So you guys will have your own separate section for these calls, for the downloads of these calls, and any other sort of special thing that we want to use, give you guys or promote to you guys or let you guys have, or, you know, extra early release stuff or discounts, we'll push through there too. So check it out.
Yeah. And so, we do have a couple more questions.
Okay. Why don't we go ahead and take those real quick, and then we'll get into banter. Because banter can be, it can literally be a 15-minute conversation, or it can be a, you know, a 3-hour conversation. So we'll just take it as long as we need to.
All right. This one is from Phil, and he says, how do I tell the difference between interest and attraction?
There is no difference. That's a really good question. Interest, curiosity is attraction, period. What attraction isn't is attraction is not seduction. It's not sexual in nature. So if she's interested in you, she's attracted to you. You need to reframe that completely. This is probably the most core understanding. The first core thing you need to understand about attraction with women is that women are not attracted to the same thing that men are attracted to. Women are attracted to things that make them curious. Period. And once they're curious or interested in you, then you solidify the attraction by building rapport. And then you, once they trust you from the rapport process, you now have free rein to build be sexual with her and build seduction. Now, of course, you can skip stages, and there are all sorts of other really exciting things once you know the rules and you can play by the rules. But until you know how to go from A to Z, like all the way through the entire process, step by step, anytime you want to, then you haven't mastered it enough yet to skip stages, because you'll screw them up, and that's just what happens. It won't just be like, you know, you getting rejected. It'll be girls going psycho. Brad?
We don't like that. We do not like that.
We don't like psycho killers. So really, that's the truth is that those are exactly the same, and most guys don't know that. Most guys think that attraction and curiosity or interest are different. Like a girl's just being interested or curious or talking to you because she's interested in what you're talking about, but not in you. That never is the case, ever. Anytime a girl is talking to you and she's interested, she's attracted to you. Now, keep in mind that whenever a guy's attracted to a girl, she can fuck up a lot, and it's okay, right? It's not a big deal. But when a girl's attracted to a guy, you screw up once and you're done, right? She won't forgive you, typically. She's like, oh, okay, well, I'm gonna move on. All right, so you do something needy on accident, you screw up one little way, and then all of a sudden she's off like a light and she's on to somebody else and not you. And that's sort of the nature of the game here. That's why there's so many moving parts that you have to know exist in the first place. And they're really simple, to be honest. It's a really simple process. But as you go through the process, you will begin to realize that you can see the matrix. You can see when you're in a certain stage and when you're not in a certain stage. And when you screwed up, you'll see her go back in the stages of a map of interaction. So study that really well, and then you should be able to see it around you. If you can see it happening around you, then you're pretty much good. You get the green light to move forward and to get into more advanced stuff, like using techniques to skip stages and manipulating ricocheting attraction off of people, which is another really advanced concept and things like that. So.
Cool. We do have one more question from Phil as well. All right. He says, you mentioned bringing a woman back to my place. If she is with friends, two or more friends, assuming attraction, what is the best way to separate her from her friends?
Well, the real question here I would be asking is, do you have to? Because you probably don't have to. You can probably bring her back to your place and bring your friends back to your place. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to be hooking up with all of them, right? But you can bring her and her friends back, and you can invite some of your friends over. One of the best things to do, Phil, if you have this connection in your town, is find somebody else who is either in the DAO community or who's just, you can always count on this guy to hook up with one girl. Like, he's not too picky, and he'll just flirt with whoever you point him at, right? And if you have someone in the DAO community, invite them over and stuff as well. This is like wingmanship 101 here, you know? So basically what you do is you create an environment where there are all these girls and you can't handle them all because, you know, you're not at the skill level yet to where you can handle three girls at once at your place and bring them all to a sexual state and, you know, have a foursome with them. I'm not saying that you aren't, but I'm imagining that you probably aren't that level yet, right? But you can be, and you will be there, so keep going for sure. Before I was able to do that, what I would do is I would invite either other girls over that I knew were just like down to party and have a good time, and I would invite some other guys over that were, you know, relatively good looking and comfortable around women, preferably funny guys, right? If you can bring these guys over. A lot of guys don't do this. They'll keep these funny guys away from the girls that they're attracted to. And if they have three or four girls over their place, instead of just going, okay, I like this chick, or maybe two or three of these chicks, right? Let me bring him over. He'll hook up with one of them, right? He won't hook up with all of them. And because you're the host and he's your guest, he'll probably give you priority, you know? And you can basically ask for priority. So invite him over before you even get there. Invite him over to your place. And he'll basically be there, like, hey, bring a 24 pack and, you know, whatever it is you want to bring it, we want to bring over. And as someone who's really trustworthy, and then he'll just show up and he'll basically hang out with these chicks with you, and you can bounce, and he'll keep everybody else interested. Another really good thing to do, and we were talking about this on last call, is instead of jumping straight to your place with these girls, have a jump point instead, right? So go, hey, we're gonna go over to this other bar, right? So you can do this. You can either, you always want to be the one to tell her friends if possible, unless she's so into you that she doesn't give a shit and she'll go tell them, right? So if you like are, if she's totally down, like she's like, let's go, let's leave, and she's the one saying that, then just split, you know, no big deal. But if she's with a bunch of girls and she's not offering that information, invite all of her friends along to another place. And then, if you can, like I said, invite other guys into the group so that these other girls are distracted, you know? And then be like, hey, let's get out of here. And then whenever these other girls are flirting with another guy, if the one that you want walks over and goes, hey, we're going to go back to his place, they're going to be like, okay, have fun. Just leave me alone. I'm flirting. Like, you know, leave me alone now. These guys are over here. These hot guys are talking to me. So go, right? So that's what you want. You want her to have, you want her friends to have a scenario like that. And one of the best ways to do that is to bounce from a jump point, as we talked about. That's what we called it last time, where you have a bar that's near your place that you can go to and then leave from down to your place. And it's an easy jump from there to your house. And then and you can bounce her from there. Bounce the girls from wherever you are to the bar near your place, and then from there, just take the one girl home. Or you can bring all the girls back to your place and invite some friends over. Or if you can't do either of those things, the best thing I found to do is find a group of guys that are just having a blast, that are not going to offend these girls. Walk up to them and be like, hey, let me introduce you guys to some chicks. And then bring these girls over and be like, hey, this is so-and-so and so-and-so, right? And then be like, all right, let's all do a shot. And then these guys are like, woo, all right, they love you to death now, you know, because you just brought over a bunch of chicks to talk to them. And so they're going to buy you drinks and stuff, and you're going to have a ton of value, you know, and they're going to be talking up these girls. And then as soon as that starts to happen and they're right in the thick of it, as soon as you see all the girls having a good time, then you can turn around, take your girl, and be like, let's get out of here. And then you can split, and it's not a big deal. So I highly recommend doing that, because that's the easiest way to do it. But a lot of guys really don't have the confidence to invite a group of other confident guys over to the group and then share these girls with them. You know, a lot of guys are very greedy. And one of my mentors early on in my life is this guy, Mike Hoey. And I talked about him a lot, actually. And he's one of the guys who I studied for Banter. And Mike used to have this old saying. He had like 1,000 sayings, but one of them was, pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered. Essentially, that means that you want to be greedy to a point where you have enough, right? But not so greedy that it's going to blow up in your face. And this is one of his rules for trading stocks online. Pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered. He said, when you doubled your investment, just cash out and be done with it, right? And he wasn't like, don't go, well, I can probably get like 10 times my investment, right? Just cash out, watch it. If you want to buy back in, do it, and then that's it, right? You just watch it closely, because pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. So you want to have, if you have like 4 girls or 3 girls with you and you're not able to handle them all, you have to share these girls with some guys. Even if you lose them all to other guys, you've now got other guys who owe you big time, right? So at the end of the day, you at least have a group of guys who are really confident, who like want to repay you by inviting you to parties and buying you drinks and stuff, you know. So you don't really waste anything here. On the other side of that, you know, if you sit there with these 3 girls and you try to keep all their attention, one of them is going to feel left out. One of them is going to get bored, and that girl is going to ruin it all for everybody else. She's going to take all the other 2 girls and leave. She's going to, you know, cause a scene, you know, start arguing with you, making it really, really difficult for you and any of your friends to have a good time. So I've seen this 1,000 times. So don't make that really amateur mistake of thinking that you cannot invite other guys into your group of girls. This is such an amateur mistake, and I see a lot of guys making this mistake. And if you're the only guy in the bar introducing women to other men, you will be just, you will have so much value, dude. Your cock will be made of gold. People will just be lining up to meet you. It's just a no-brainer for women to want to sleep with you when you do that. So really, really powerful. So I would consider that for sure. That's like the next level, really. All right.
We've got a couple responses from Phil.
Okay. He's like, I think I insulted him in the beginning. I was like, oh, he says something about him not being at the level of being able to have foursomes.
So he's going to go off. He actually responded to that. He said, LOL, no, sad face, not yet, smiley face.
Good. We'll work on that.
Said, hey, bring them over. I forgot. Great advice. Uh-huh. Looking for a good wingman. Currently have one that drops the ball and eventually pulls my target away.
Nope. Get rid of him. Anybody who ever pulls your target away is not your wingman. I used to stop guys in the middle of conversations with the girl that I liked, and I would literally walk up and go, what the fuck do you think you're doing? In the middle of this conversation, to both of them. I wouldn't be talking to her. I'd just be talking to him. You know, what are you doing? Why'd you do this? You know, and it just totally makes everything awkward. It ruins a conversation for him, you know, And it's like, he's like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Like, no, what are you doing? You know exactly what I mean. You know, I'm attracted. I know I'm attracted to this girl. And now you're over here talking to her. Will you just fuck off, please? Thank you. You know? So it's like, anytime someone does that, pull the trigger, dude. Don't sit around and go, oh, mopey. Like, don't do that. You have to, like, lay the law. And it, before you go out, you have to set a set of, make a set of rules. Let me tell you a few rules that we had. Whenever I was started doing this, I had a really good friend of mine named Johnny Zuback. And Johnny Zuback was one of the best that ever have been in my that I've seen with women. And he was a natural in a lot of ways. He didn't know what he was doing. And he had a rocker angle and, you know, just he lived the part completely. And I'm not sure if anyone here has ever heard of a guy named Brad P. Brad P is a pickup artist. And Johnny reminded me a lot of Brad P. He was very like rocker dude and very like open and funny. But what didn't always, he always had the center of attention, but didn't say that much, you know? So, I used to watch him a lot whenever we used to go out. And after a little while, he realized that we were at the same level, you know, cause it took me about 3 or 4 months to be able to be as good as him. And then I started getting better than him because I was integrating everything and growing, getting better and better and better. And so I was taking all of his good stuff and he wasn't getting any of mine yet. So then he's like, okay, look, I think we need to have rules here and we need to like teach each other because we're in this to learn. So I was like, absolutely. That sounds like a great idea. So we sat down and we hammered out a list of rules. And we lived by these rules. These were the commandments. You know, this was the code. So we had like a wingman code, you know. And we had this with each other and we always had each other's backs. And if it wasn't for this code, we would have torn each other's heads off. And I wouldn't have gotten as good. Because as he started getting better, he now shared where he screwed up with me. And if we had like gotten in a fight over a girl early on, then I would have lost that mentor that I had for my life. I probably had him for, you know, five years maybe of my life. And it was like the most productive 5 years of my life. I built 90% of what I teach during those 5 years. So it was really, really powerful. So I would say that let's go through a few of these rules that I had. Brad, I've never even told you these.
Yeah, I'm all ears.
Yeah. You definitely want to write these down. And as I'll go through a few of them and then I'll probably forget a couple and then come back to them later and give you more. So just kind of keep a running list of these rules. Brad, as you write these down too, why don't we start a page that we can start sharing the wingman code, with everybody in the members area. And, it allows everybody to kind of, you know the rules basically. First rule is that, are you there, Brad? So make sure you're still there.
Yeah, Brad. I muted the mic.
Okay,
so
cool.
You can hear me digging around for a notebook.
Okay, I guess I ruined that one there. I just wanted to make sure that everyone can still hear me. Okay. The first rule is, attraction is attraction. And what I mean by that is that attraction is nothing, right? So as long as you're bantering, being playful, being silly, having fun, you don't have a girl yet. So Johnny and I had a rule with each other where we wouldn't choose a girl until we were in rapport, right? This is how it is. If you go into rapport with a girl, then that means off limits. No one else can have her. That's it. She's your girl. And it also means you're not going to drop her after rapport and go chase other chicks, right? If I see you go into rapport with some girl and then 5 minutes later, I see you flirting with another girl and that girl's standing over by herself, I'm like, okay, she's fair game, right? Because you gave up on her. That's okay, right? But I'll run it by you first. So the first rule is attraction, always. It just means that it means nothing. It's nothing deep. You build attraction with everyone you meet. Every single girl you meet, you build attraction. But rapport is choosing. As soon as you start building rapport with somebody, you've made a decision that this is the girl you want. And that means she's off limits. Unless you drop the rapport and you leave, right? You don't care anymore. Even if Johnny was in rapport with a girl and then he left the bar and went to another bar and that girl was still there, I would go over to her and I would talk Johnny up to her. I would do nothing but just be like, oh man, he's an amazing musician and blah, blah, blah. He's such an inspiration to me. I would drop my value and I would become beta under Johnny so that he was more desirable to her. So this is what a real, this is what real wingmen do with each other, right? This is like a real, this is the real code. So that's the first one. Attraction is attraction and rapport is choosing. The second thing, let me just go through this here, is that whenever possible, whenever necessary, you intercept potential, like I don't have this obviously written down, but you intercept potential threats or obstacles, right? So if you see a girl who's starting to scowl, then you have to go over and start flirting with her crazy, like giving her compliments, laughing, flirting, buying drinks, and like just keeping her busy and song and dance, so that your buddy can pull this other girl away. Almost never will you have to jump on a grenade, right? But I'll get into that in just a second. That's another huge one, because it's happened a lot. Johnny and I were so neck to neck, like so close with at attraction, like so equal at what we did, that eventually we had to actually come to taking turns process. And sometimes it didn't work out in my favor, right? So you'd have a girl and we'd be flirting. You'd both be flirting with her, right? And you just go, okay, I get the first one. If I fuck it up with this first one, then you can have a shot at her, of course, right? No problem. And the next one's yours. If you fuck it up with her, then I get a shot at her too, right? No problem. So we started taking turns. And this was whenever it was really, 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 really fun. Because we just kept a running tab. I'm like, dude, it's my turn. He's like, no, it's not. It's my turn. No, it's not. Remember, you had that brunette and with the tattoos. Do you remember 2 weeks ago? You know, that was that one. And then I had the blonde 2 days after that. And then you had, you know, so-and-so. And then I had so-and-so. You know, and then I just got on the list. And then the last one was yesterday. And it was Jamie at the karaoke bar. And he's like, ah, shit, you're right. And I'd be like, okay, thanks. See you later. You know, and he would literally go, you got to meet my friend Josh. He is like, you know, just an inspiration. Or he'd like talk me up and then he'd split, you know, he'd like drop his value and raise mine and then he'd leave. And this is really, really important. We lived by this, right? So the second one there is whenever you feel like you're evenly matched, then you take turns and you have to keep tabs too. And you only take turns when you're together. So like if it was one night whenever you're not there and you hook up with a chick, that doesn't count, right? Or whenever he's not there and you hook up with a chick, that doesn't count because you're not together, right? And you got to be very clear about it early on. The third rule is immediate confrontation when there's any kind of question, right? So because he's there with you like that, you have to have immediate disclosure to whatever it is, right? If there's something wrong, we have to literally say, hey, dude, can you not flirt with her? Because I'm trying to blah, 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 right? If it's your turn, you can say that. If it's not your turn, he will probably say, oh, hey, can you just go fuck yourself then? And I'm going to do this. It's my turn. So, you know what I mean? Like, that's okay. And you should probably go fuck yourself. Find another girl, you know, and just go somewhere else. So he basically has that first choice. But if you have a problem and there's some kind of discrepancy where he's flirting with a girl that you went into rapport with already, or it's, you know, he's going out of turn, whatever, then you can say, hey, look, it's my turn. Can you back off? You know? And, you know, there were times in which I'd be like, hey, it's my turn. How much do you like this girl? And he'd be like, oh, I could take her or leave her. You know, she's cute or hot or whatever. And she looks like she'd be really fun in bed, but, you know, I'm not in love with her or anything. And I'd be like, okay, do you mind if I have her then? He'd be like, oh, sure. Because he knew that if he handed it off to me, that I would be fine, right? But you can't do that with somebody that's not as good as you, because it doesn't make any sense. If you have a girl who likes you and then you hand her off to another guy who she's not going to like, then she goes over there, she gets all turned off, you know, and then you can't go back to her. That doesn't make any sense, right? So you have to get somebody who is as good as you. Now, if you have a friend who is not as good as you, it is your duty to bestow whatever knowledge you have, even if it's minimal, to get him at your level or above. This is very, very important. So another rule sort of the wingman code here is that you always pull people up to your level, You always pull your wingmen up to your level and bring them up so that they can be as good as you. And you keep teaching them. And you'll do it for free. That's what you do with your wingmen. You just help them out. It's part of the process. It's part of like the movement, karma of the movement, you know? You just do it and it gets better and better and better, and then you become an expert because people will keep asking you questions because you keep helping them, you know? That's really how I started this, is that I was helping people out and they were like doing what I said and it was working over and over and over again, you know? So you always bring people up to as good as you are. When you see someone who's better than you, you always ask if they can teach you, always. If they know anything at all, you take it, you integrate it, you learn it, you do it, so that you know that it works, and then you teach it to people who aren't as good as you so they get better. Always. This is part of what we do, right? The confrontation thing, if I can step back on that for a second. I cannot stress how important this is, because there were times in which I have ruined interactions that Johnny was in or one of my friends was in. Because I didn't communicate properly, right? I would be like, or we didn't communicate properly. Like, we weren't clear about where the line was whenever we decided that we liked a girl, right? So we were just like, it was free for all in the beginning. You could just do whatever you wanted, right? But it wasn't like that in the end. In the end, it was very, very cut and dry, very straightforward. And it was like, without a doubt, it was very, very clear in our heads. So it was, there was no question whether or not something was broken there. You know, whether a rule was broken or not. And when it does happen, if you do break a rule, no matter what happens, you know, let's say that you do it because you're indulgent that night and you don't care, you have to repay and make this better. Always. It's more important than anything else. Unless it was the love of your life that this was going on with, then you get, oh, sorry, this brings me to another rule. I'm so glad I'm talking about this because it's all coming back to me now, you know? Another rule is you get two girls. You have two girls that are off limits. You can say, here they are. You're never to ever build attraction with, not even like flirt with or banter with or be playful with. Two girls. And I can name them at any point. They can be two girls, right? And you want to keep them steady, but you can change them on a moment's notice if you want to, right? But as soon as you do, the two girls you just left behind are now open, right? For their open game, right? So what we would typically do is, you know, you have one girl that you really dig a lot and you know, you're working on. And then another girl that is really close to you that you don't want anybody screwing with, right? Like a family excluded, right? So I wouldn't have to name my sister. My sister's obviously off limits, you know? So I just be like, oh, that goes without saying. She's not one of my two, but if you flirt with her, I'm going to punch you in the face. So there's that, you know? But you get two girls, and so do they. And they can name whomever they want as these two girls. If they always name people that you want specifically because you want them, they're not on your side, you know? They're being dicks, in which case they're not really your friends, and they're not your wingmen in that case. So instead, but that won't happen very often. You know, usually you'll have a good group of guys that are really interested in helping you grow and supporting you and everything. And it's part of the movement. It's part of why we're all here, to help each other. So you'll move from there, from a place of like, okay, well, I have two girls and these are two girls. You have to name them ahead of time. You know, usually they are like the girl, like the one that got away, that one. Because she will come back in your life at some point, promise. In one way, shape, or form, she'll come back. And then another girl that you dig a lot, right? Or that, you know, is a girl that you're currently pursuing or whatever. Now, if you're polyamorous and you're dating multiple women at the same time and you're open about it, then these two girls become very difficult to pin down, usually, because polyamorous guys are cool with, you know, other guys sleeping with their girlfriends. It's not a big deal because they don't have one girlfriend. They have seven and they like them all equally, you know? So it's totally cool, but it's really rare to find a guy who's that open and that confident, you know, that's sort of around. So most of the time you'll have two girls in your head and you have to name these girls out whenever you talk. So you have to have sort of like this, it's almost like a huddle. Like you bring the team in and you say, okay, look, here's where I stand. You know, I have two girls in my life that I don't want you guys going after. Neither of them live in town, so don't worry about it. You know, it's totally cool. So we're totally game here. But if I ever see one, I need you guys to just build me up and then drop yourselves down. So these guys have to be willing to say, even if it's like the most gorgeous girl they've ever seen in their lives, to walk over to her and go, how long have you known so-and-so? Oh, he's really amazing and blah, blah. And like if I looked over and you were my wingman, let's say, one of my wingmen. And I looked over and I saw you talking to a girl that I had loved for 5 years and could never really make it work with. And now it's starting to work and she started coming back in my life. And I saw you sitting in rapport with her. I would know that you're talking about how awesome I am, you know, and how I've inspired you or whatever it is, you know. And then, like, you know, I wouldn't be like, so, you know, what do you study? You know, it's not like you getting to know them. It's you just building your friend up, you know, over and over and over again. So so there's that. That brings me to the next thing. This is the last one I'm going to go over for today because we've already gone like almost an hour. That went by real fast.
This is really good, though. I think a lot of guys will.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is the missing piece, in my opinion. The missing piece to the movement is I haven't shared this information yet. So I would be very, very happy to keep a list of rules and to allow guys to suggest rules, you know, which would be really, really cool. Anytime anyone has a problem, we can just discuss the problem as like a board, you know, and mm-hmm. then go in and update the rule, you know, so that it makes sense. So, finally, and this is the last one that I'll go over today, is you always debrief. There's always a debrief after an experience. And every time you have a debrief, you talk about what you learned. This is very, very important. This is the most important part of this process, is debriefing. And that's basically where it could be that night, if you're going home alone, the two of you. Like, you're just like, okay, well, let's leave. And nothing happened that night, which happens often. Don't worry about it. If it does, it's not a big deal. You talk about all your interactions one by one, what went right, what went wrong, what you did that you never did before, and keep a journal and write everything down. Everything that you learn, write it down. Both of you. So it's like, okay, well, when you did this, I saw you, I turned, I saw you, like, you know, had your hands up in the air and you were shaking them, and so was she. What were you doing? Because she loved that. She's like, oh, I did this thing where I go, all right. You know, and I sing a song, and she knows the song, and I just, you know, and then all of a sudden, I spin her, and then she's laughing, and then I push her away. Like, all these little things like this, you begin to collect them. It's like you're collecting techniques, right? And these little techniques help you. They're in your back pocket as secret weapons that no one else knows except this one person who may have invented them, you know? And out of all the techniques you have, 10 or 20 will be, you know, after you have, let's say, 50 or 60 techniques. Let's make it easier. One in every six or one in every five techniques that you learn are going to be game-changing for you. They are going to, it's going to be a new game once you learn them. It's going to be, all of a sudden, it'll be shooting fish in a barrel. And you'll have multiple of these that you can pull out anytime you want. And you can use them, like I said, like secret weapons that you can use to trump whoever it is. Trump cards. You just throw it down and you win, right? And you need these things, and they come out during this debrief time, you know? So go over that stuff, and do the debriefing process. It can be that same day or it can be the next day, but you gotta make time for it. Nothing else is more important than this. So always debrief is the last one. We'll build this out a little bit more and have that code, online so you guys can check it out. And, you know, I think that you guys should get it obviously for free. So I'm just gonna compile it all together, and then we'll let you guys have at it and help us build it out, and it'll be a major resource. I think at the end of the day, anytime someone recognizes that you are, that you're in the DAO movement, you know, there's like a way to tell that someone is in, then you automatically know you can trust them. You know, you automatically know what you can say. Say, all right, I'm going after this girl over here. Let me help you. How can I help you? You know, let's go talk to some girls and let me introduce you to some girls I met earlier, you know, blah, blah, blah. Just like kind of pass them around and get them up to speed and see how good they are and help them get better if they're not as good as you, or Learn from them if they're better than you. And if they're better than you at rapport, learn rapport. If they're better than you at attraction, learn the attraction, you know? Even if you're better in every other way, just get the things that you need and make sure you debrief afterwards. So that's what I have so far. How's that, Brad? Is it good?
Yes. I have a question, though.
Okay.
You're talking about, like, lowering your value to increase theirs. What's the best way to go about that?
The best way to do that is to jump straight into rapport, first off. Mm-hmm. So you can access your emotions, look down while you're talking.
Okay.
But you don't want to seem submissive, right? So you still sit up straight and be powerful because you want to show that you have, you know, that he has powerful, dominant friends, right? Because if you act all submissive and weak, then it's going to be like, oh, well, he's a leader, but he's hanging out with a bunch of weaklings, you know?
Yeah.
So you want to keep your body language all powerful. But one thing that I would do is I would say, you know, there's something just different about him. I don't know what it is. And you're having a real serious conversation, right? You're skipping all the attraction shit. And it's like, I see him and I'm like, I can't help but smile. It's just amazing. You know, it's like I can have a really shitty day and then talk to him or hang out with him and have coffee with him or something or grab a drink. And it's like, I feel like it doesn't matter anymore. Like everything's going to be all right. And you can say that. You can say anything that has to do with them being successful, anything that has to do with people liking them, and anything that has to do with, them being powerful. Those are the three. So you can say what they've achieved. Like, you know, this guy, if you can't tell by looking at him, but this guy was, this guy's hiked 6 of the 7 tallest peaks of the world. You know, he has traveled to 90 countries, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like he's just, what he's done in his life has blown my mind. And I've never done something like that before. And he's really an inspiration, right? So that's one part. That's like what he's done, what he achieved, you know, that kind of thing. Or you can say, this guy walks into a room and everybody looks at him. Everybody asks, all of a sudden just falls right in place. Like he's just the leader. And people go, what should we do? They start asking for his advice. They start asking what he wants. They try to please him because he's just got that much power, you know? You should see him in a meeting. He's just like, it's like scary, you know, I get a little nervous, like that kind of thing. Or you can say, or you can do something that says people like him, right? I know the last one was kind of a mixture of power and people liking him, but, so I'll just kind of throw that away for a second, but the last one is people liking him. So the three, just to kind of go through it in order, it's actually, achievement, power, and affiliation. Those are the three. Achievement, power, and affiliation. If you get all three of those, then you'll talk somebody up really, really, really easily. And then you just back off. You go, all right, I'm going to go over here now. You want to come over? You want to come hang out and then bring her over back to where he is and then just kind of drop her off, you know? Another thing you can do, if they're actually having a conversation, if it's the three of you, is you can ask questions you already know the answer to, and then act surprised whenever you hear the answer. Like, for example, one of my favorites is, so how long have you two been hanging out? And she's like, oh, no, we just met tonight. You're like, are you serious? I thought you guys knew each other for like 10 years, right? And like, no, we just met tonight. I'm like, that's amazing. Like, oh, okay. And then you just drop it. And then she's like left with that residue. Like, yeah, I do kind of feel like I've known him for 10 years. You know what I mean? And he's like, oh, you know, yeah, I feel comfortable too. And she's just really easy to talk to or whatever. Like, let him sort of have that moment, you know, king for a day kind of thing. And you can do this by interaction. As long as he's on your side, you got it. You know, you're good. He'll have your back. You'll have his back and everything's good. So that's a good way to build people up when you do that. And you're sort of dropping yourself too because you're making yourself a little bit beta when you do that. But it's okay to do that because you're trying to make it easier for her to make a decision. You know, you want it to be easy for her to say, I want the alpha guy. I want the guy who's the leader. I want the guy who's, you know, who's got this story. I want the guy who everyone likes, you know, or who the guy is super powerful, that kind of thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to be you. And while that's happening, you're just going to go find another girl. And he's going to do the same thing for you with the other girl, you know. Tag team. So anyway, cool. So that's that. We'll move on to other things now because that was like literally the entire call. So why don't we move on here to actual banter. So first, if you guys are around the computer right now, some people are listening on the phone or listening to a recording of this as well, if it's not live. I want you to go to the members area if you can. And then there's a section at the top right tab called bonuses. You can click on that. And then you'll see, I believe it's the top one, the top bonus is the banter cheat sheet. Let me just go back. It says the banter cheat sheet, and then in parentheses it says what to say when you open your mouth. This is very clearly marked. So check that out. It's a web page. You'll go on it. You'll see separate list of banter lines and then a bunch of suggested banter lines underneath it of students that have come through and who have added in banter lines. I love some of these banter lines in here, and I try to add them to the list, but lately I haven't been doing that because I just haven't looked in here or just taken the 10 minutes or whatever to really do that. If you do submit one, I'll add in a section that says submitted by DAO member and then your name. So you'll be sort of immortalized in there if it's good. If it's not good, I won't put it up there, I promise. So the ones that I do like have been proven and tested, and I've used them over and over and over again. Now, let me tell you the secret behind banter. The big sort of, you know, gold nugget that most guys don't get when they start using banter and they screw it all up because they don't get this. Banter has to be situational. Now, there are some lines you can use in pretty much any situation, but you have to keep going with it. You have to. It's not just the one line, then you're done. You have to stack these banter lines. You have to be able to stack them. And you can't always remember them all in order. Don't memorize them all in order. It's not like that. Instead, you want to memorize several starting points and then improv the rest. Right? So, for example, I may go, say a girl knocks something over, and I go, you know what? This is exactly why we can't have nice things. You know? And she's like laughing, and then I go, you know, it was one thing whenever you were, you know, throwing around money. That was okay. I was cool with that. But now you're throwing glasses. Next, it'll be pots and pans. Then you'll be throwing cans of corn. And I just don't want to get into this. Cats. You know, I don't want a cat flying in my face. That's not what I want. You know, I don't want the drama. You know? So if you can promise, you know, whatever. Like, you just kind of, like, get joking and totally joke with her. So you're taking it from there and just snowballing it and running it. Right? I had no idea what I was going to say when I first said that. I just kind of thought of it and then went with it. Right? There is no wrong answer. What you'll find is that there are some answers that most people get and they think are funny, and then some that some people get and think are funny. You want to stick with the ones that most people think are funny, right? So you'll just test this out as you move. You'll say something and then no one will laugh. You'll go, okay, mental note there, you know, get rid of that one. You can even actually go do this too. If you say something that isn't funny, just go look around and then pretend like you're taking out a piece of paper and a pen and go, never say that joke again. Like you're writing it down and then put it back in your pocket. And then they're like, they'll think that's funny too, you know? So there are a lot of saves and things like this, but the most important thing to know is that you have to stack these banter lines. You have to stack them. You can't say one and then expect it to work. It will not work. It'll get her interest, but then she may start testing you, you know, or anything. Could be anything, you know? You want to stack them as much as possible. Now, some of them work really well together. Like, you could say, did you come all the way over here just to flirt with me? Which was the first one we have written down in the banter cheat sheet. Did you come all the way over here just to flirt with me? And then you can roll straight from that into a treble one. Like the next one says, I can tell just by looking at you that you're treble, right? So I could say, did you come all the way over here just to flirt with me? Like, I don't want whatever you're selling here. You know, I can tell you're treble. You know, I know you're coming over here to get me in trouble. I can see that on your face. You're used to it. You're like an expert at getting people in trouble. You're like a little troublemaker. You're a little devil. I see your little devil horns underneath your halo. You can't hide that from me. I see it. I know where you're coming from. I'm watching you. You know? And this is like, I'm stringing together four different banter lines, but I can do them in any order I want. You know? Like I could say, I can tell just by looking at you that you're trouble because you came all the way over here just to flirt with me, didn't you? That's what you just did. You know? And so I could literally reverse them. There's no specific order that I need them to be in. So if you remember them, then you can just mix and match them however you want in as many different ways as you want. And that gives you tremendous, tremendous freedom to be able to, and flexibility to be able to think on your feet. Now, it's not true wit. It's not true wit because you're not making it all up on the spot. But the big secret behind really, really witty people is that about 50% of what they say is pre-scripted. And you don't know it because they've said it before somewhere and it was good, so they remembered it and they use it all the time now, right? And you won't know it unless you spend a lot of time with this person. You know, you're like, oh, this he said that thing again, you know? And then you know that it works. you know, that kind of thing. So you want to make sure that you use your banter lines as much as you can and have a pretty good list of them so that you, in your head at least, so that you can pull them out and link them all together, you know? So looking at some of these now, and some of them are just hilarious. I love the, I promised I wouldn't go home with anyone tonight. That's a, one of my favorite ones too. The, it'll never work out between us. That one's really, really fun because it turns into a role play. So like, you may say, actually, let me link some of these together. Okay, so it'll never work out between us, and you must have driven your parents crazy. Right, let's use those two. Those are two really classic banter lines. So I may say, you know, looking at you, I can tell you must have driven your parents absolutely nuts. You know, because I mean, you're always just going around having these crazy, like, you're just basically saying whatever comes to your mind. I bet you were like one of those little girls that was like, why is he so fat? When you're, you know, and your parents are like, shh, just calm down, you know. And that's why I know it'll never work out between us. Because I'd never take your shit, and you'd never take mine. And, you know, you'd be throwing CDs at me, and I'd be catching all of them. Like, you'd try to slam a door, and it would be a revolving door. You know, like, you know, little silly things like that. And I just make them up, like, as I keep going. Things that you could think that would be frustrating, right? You would try to poison me and find out that I actually like cyanide, you know. It's one of my favorites. I have I built up a tolerance to Iocane powder. That's a really great one because that's from Princess Bride. If she gets that, then she'll love you forever. So basically, I'm stringing together all of these different banter lines. And if you think this sounds really silly, you're absolutely right. There is absolutely no content in this conversation. It's just silliness. That's all you're doing is being funny, right? And this is what builds attraction. This builds value. You're demonstrating value when you do this because you're saying to them subconsciously, I'm here, I'm talking to you, I'm not uncomfortable, I'm used to talking to women, right? That's why I'm able to like say all these funny things, right? Because I'm used to talking to beautiful women. And I'm not trying to go straight into rapport because I don't need you to like me. Like I have other options, but I'm not just going, hey, you know, I don't care if you like me, I have other options. Somebody who has other options wouldn't say that shit. They'd be like having a good time because they like having a good time. That's how come they have so many options in the first place. So you want to act like you have a lot of options, not talk like you have a lot of options, right? You don't want to say you have a lot of options ever. You just want it to become clear that you do. So you can use any one of these in pretty much any situation. Some of them are specific to certain situations. So there's a section that says banter for the middle of a conversation. That's really good. So you, right in the middle of a conversation, you could say any of these things, you know. They're all really great. I'm reading them right now. They're just like, if you ever get stuck in a conversation, and you don't know what to say, pull from this list of banter lines for the middle of a conversation. That's really, really, really important. The first thing you say, you can remember a banter line if you want to, or you can make one up on the spot. You know, if you see a girl walking two dogs down the street at the same time, you may go like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Are you a professional dog walker or something? Because I watched The Dog Whisperer once, and he basically said you have to point at dogs and go, psst. And that's what I learned. So if you know anything else, I'm all ears, you know? And that, you know, and then you can go straight into another line. Be like, but you know what? Before I really talk to you too much, I have to let you know. I think it's a little bit strange that you came up and started talking to me out of nowhere. You know, people don't normally do that. You know, and you're, as long as you're smiling while you're doing this, you're like, I didn't talk to you. You came and talked to me. Like, that's not what I saw. You know, am I a little friend here? You know, petting the dog? He saw it too, you know? He knows. Such a buddy. Like, so you're just like doing nothing but linking these different banter lines. So I hope I really drove that home that you have to link these banter lines. They're really, really important. Now, if you are, another really important sort of zoomed out idea about banter is that you have to use it in conjunction with body language and touch. So these three things are connected on every level all the way through the interaction. You have lighthearted banter in the beginning, in addition to, at the same time, so synchronized with lighthearted negative body language, synchronized with lighthearted temporary touch. These three things happen all at the same time, right? And then you shift to the next phase. Next phase is deep emotional conversation, right? Synchronized with positive committed body language, synchronized with lingering more intimate touch. And then you move into seduction, and you have funny enough, you have banter again, but now it's sexual banter. But that's also coupled with constant touch and sexual touch as well. So it's constant and it's of sexual nature, and dominant positive body language as well. And you can take away a little bit if you want to as well and be a little playful. But those three things are all connected. So these elements are all connected all the way through the process. And if you skip one or you mix one up, like you go too fast with touch, but you don't follow it with your banter or with your what am I thinking? Oh, body language, then she'll get turned off and she'll leave. That's called incongruence. It means your body's saying one thing and your mouth is saying another thing. And you don't ever want to be incongruent with a woman. So you have to have everything all in order at the same time, all together as like a group. And I find the easiest way to do this is to switch modes. Like go, okay, well, right now I'm in playful, silly, have a good time mode, right? And everything that goes along with it. I touch everybody, but very briefly. I give negative body language to a lot of people. I'm very playful. And I say a shitload of banter lines, right? Next mode is I'm in serious, sincere friend mode. And that's where I'm giving one person positive body language. I'm raising my eyebrows a lot. I'm accessing different parts of my brain with my eyes and looking down and up and left and right and all over with my eyes, trying to, while I'm talking, trying to access different parts of my brain. And I am having rapport conversation, and I am touching them a lot more intimately and lingering for a lot longer with my touch before I take it away. And that's like my friend mode. And then finally I go into seduction mode. Seduction mode is powerful, dominant body language. It's mixed in with positive and negative body language together. So sometimes I'll mix those up a little bit. I'll tease them with negative body language, but then when I pursue, I use positive body language. And then, of course, like sexual type banter and powerful, like almost like NLP, like saying what I want and saying what they're going to be feeling, what they are feeling right now and stuff like that, really directing, and using constant touch and touching in a sexual way. So those are my three different modes. And so I don't have to think about it anymore. I don't have to go, okay, so here I am. I got to do this and I got to do this and I got to do this. I just go, all right, friend mode, right? Turn it on. Boom, done. I just act like that guy, right? All right, seduction mode, boom, on. And I act like that guy, right? So then I just have to worry about changing between modes quickly. And when you first start getting into different modes, you will not be able to shift very fast. It'll be difficult. You'll have inertia, and friction. You'll be moving in one direction and you'll try to shift and you can't because your inertia will take you through to the same direction. You won't be able to shift very quickly. And then you'll go to shift and it's rough shifting. It's kind of like a gritty shifting. And so you don't really have this smooth process yet where you've learned how to really sort of be one with your interactions like this. But that'll come though. Keep practicing and that will come. It doesn't take that long to get that down. You just have to watch it and pay attention. But it really is more important that you get all those things packaged together as a mode that you can be in. One way you can do that is just stand in front of the mirror, preferably when no one else is around so you don't have to feel embarrassed. And then just go, all right, I'm in banter mode. Hey, and just talk to yourself. Be like, hey, get out of here. Look at you. And you use the body language and you use the words and you touch. Imagine you're touching somebody and you just kind of go through the whole process until you get that feel, right? And you get that groove in your head and you go, okay, I got that groove. Next one, friend mode. Okay, hey, how's it going? You're looking directly in your eyes and you're, telling stories and you're facing them directly with your body, leaning in, things like that, touching them in a certain different way. You can get all this information from the Tao of Badass, by the way. And then finally, you have your seduction mode, and that one's going to be a little bit weird for you to do in the mirror, but do it, push through it, and do it anyway. And you'll be looking at yourself, making constant eye contact. Like, you're never gonna take your eyes off of yourself in this case. But when you're talking to a girl, you're never gonna look away from her during seduction. And you'll have all of the other parts that go along with that: touch and body language and verbal content. So that's what I would say for that. Really, really important to do that. If you haven't done that yet, then that is definitely what you want to do immediately. Practice those different modes and get them down really, really well. So the next thing you want to think about doing is, I guess we need to probably have, I saw somebody ask for a PDF of this banter cheat sheet. We should probably get one and then update it frequently. We'll have a link to the updates or something so that guys can put it on their phone. But you can have a little link on your phone to this page, and it'll take you straight here. So if you have like an iPhone or a smartphone in general, you can make a link for this. Like, save this page on your phone as on the home screen as a little icon, and then you can just touch it once, and it'll take you straight there. And that's really, really helpful, especially if you're out in like a bar and you don't know what to say or you screw something up. You can hit the button and get like a list of shit to say, and then go, oh, okay, cool. And I not personally, but purposely, sorry, made these things really big so you could see them on a smaller device. You can read them easier. So, Brad, do you have any more questions that came up?
Yes, we do.
Okay, why don't we go ahead and go through a couple of those?
All right. This one's from Victor. He says, "I've been talking to members of the DAO members DAO community near me, but most of them are older than me and more experienced. I don't know if any people would react oddly if they see me wingmanning with them. Does it really matter? And do you have any advice?"
Well, of course it matters. If it matters to you, then it matters, right? I mean, if it bothers you, then it bothers you, the end, but at the end of the day, if they're more experienced than you, then give them respect. Say, "Hey, look, I think that you're a little bit more experienced than I am. Why don't you teach me a little bit about what you do? And let's just, you don't have to be perfect. Let me just see what you do, and then I'll ask you questions." If you see them doing something right. It's not about how old they are, though. I am 29 years old, 29, and I am better with women than most 55-year-old men. I mean, for their entire lives, they've never been as good as me, And I can go up against people who have way more experience than me, are way better looking than me, who are way better shaped than me, and make way more money than me, and are way more famous than me, and I will win because I know what I'm doing. So it's not about age at all. It's about knowledge and application of knowledge. So, if you're going to be meeting up with people who are a little bit older than you, guys who are a little older than you, if they don't want to come to a bar, typically guys who are a little bit older don't like bars that much, and I don't blame them. I don't really like bars that much either. But it's a tr like a tremendously valuable learning ground, like training ground for you to get better. And that area, like the bar in that kind of area, is really, really good to go to, but a lot of those guys don't like to go, a lot of older guys don't like to go there. So if you can go out in a situation where they like to be, and you can try it there together, you can find out really quick how good you are compared to them. But if you don't actually go talk to women, and you just talk about talking to women the whole time, you will never know how good you are compared to them. You'll never know how good they are. Do not ever take advice from somebody worse than you. Ever. This is one of the first lessons I learned growing up in a trailer park. Don't take financial advice from people who are living in the trailer park. Don't do it, because it's not going to get you anywhere but the trailer park. Unless they're temporary, unless it's like, oh, this is Richard Branson, he's living in the trailer park for now, right? It's only a matter of time before he gets better. And then you can learn from his mistakes and everything, But if they aren't better than you, then offer them advice. If they don't want to hear it, then don't, they're not a wingman. You have to make sure that they're open to that. And you have to straight up ask them, man. Just, Victor, whenever you talk to these guys, just be like, "Hey, look, I want to go out and I want to practice some of this stuff, and see how well it goes. I'm new, so I'm not like really good or anything." Just tell them that. Even if you are really good, just tell them that you're not. It's always better to say you're not really good, because then whenever you show up and you're pretty good, they're like, "Oh, damn, I'm surprised," and they like that. It's always better to under-promise and over-deliver. So, I'm not that good, and then see if we can go out and try to try to learn and try to do some stuff. And if they're like, yeah, let's do it, man, then pick a date, pick a place, show up, hang out, talk to women the whole time, and then debrief. Make sure they know, hey, look, there are a few rules that I try to follow when it comes to like going out with other guys. Here they are, Are you cool with these? And I would ask them that first. Like, are you cool with this and the things I talked about today? This, and this, and this. And if they're like, sure, man, that sounds great, then good, you're good to go. And you guys can go hang out. I would like to actually have some kind of a certification process that guys can go through, like a wingman certified, Dow wingman certified, so that you can say, hey, this guy is, or recommendations or something, like this guy's good. He's really good with women. He builds me up. He follows the wingman code, to a T always, and blah, 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 right? So you know that this guy's good to go out with. You know what I mean? And that would be really helpful, obviously. But I can't build that yet. It's not that high priority on my list of other things to do here. But still something that would be really, really helpful. So that would help you guys be able to find those guys. For now, just see if you can find a DAO ambassador in your area, or if not, if there isn't one in your area, then just try to find a just talk to a few guys who are nearby and try to get them to respond back and agree to meet up with you and go out. And if you find some guys who are really good outside of the DAO community, invite them in. Tell them to get a copy of DAO and join the membership and get in the members area. It's not like they have to pay every month or anything. You pay once, you're in the members area. If they want to be a founding member, that's different. That's a different leap, obviously. But get them in the members area and then start going out with them and other guys. So they're exposed to this material, because the more people that know this stuff, the better. And in your case, if the more friends that you have that study, the better, because that'll make you badass, obviously. So, next, is there another one?
Yes. This is a question from John. He said, in terms of the system, at what point am I supposed to be romantically interested in a girl, and when should she be romantically interested in me, either verbally or non-verbally? I still don't really understand the difference between attraction and seduction. And you said attraction is only curiosity, though both people could be interested in each other at that point. Couldn't you argue that seduction is content-free as well?
Seduction is not intention free. That's the difference between seduction and attraction. Attraction is content free and intention free, right? You're not trying to do anything except basically be playful the whole time. It's a totally different intention. Well, it's not really an intention. It's kind of like your shotgun method, like you're just talking to everybody and flirting with everybody. When you get into seduction, you've chosen one and you have an intention. Your intention is to be sexual, and to connect sexually with this person in some way, shape, or form, physically and verbally and everything, So there's a very, very big difference during seduction. If you don't understand the differences between the different stages, I would say the easiest way to figure that out is not that that's what you're saying. I know that you're saying you understand a little bit, but if you want to get to know a little bit better, then you definitely have to go back over that section of the Tao, because that's really, really important. That's at the core of everything. Is this map and this process that you go through. So, what I would do, in your situation that you're saying, sometimes you can't relate to, or you're wondering what the difference really is. Can you both be attracted to each other? And wait, sorry, what was the last part, Brad? You said, can you, what if you're both attracted to each other?
He was saying that even though attraction is only curiosity, both people could be interested in each other at this point.
Yeah, well, they are. Yeah, you're interested, of course, but you don't need it. That's the sort of thing that you're giving off with banter. Everything that you're asking right now about this, you don't need to really ask. That's why I'm kind of like at a loss here, because you don't need to know that stuff. That's you don't need to pay attention to that stuff at all. All you need to do is take care of what you're doing with your body, with yourself. That's really, really important. If you're like, okay, well, is she interested in me? Blah, blah. You're not there. You're not in the moment. You're not like doing what you need to do. Instead, you're standing there thinking about whether or not she's interested in you. And she's reading that on your face. So she sees that. The more seconds you stand there thinking about whether or not she's interested in you, or she's curious or whatever, and she's attracted and things like that, you're dropping your value, and it's harder for you to continue as you go on. So what I would do is just try to see the matrix. You have to see the matrix. You have to try, not the movie, but you have to see the map of interaction matrix, you know, where you're able to say, okay, I'm in this stage, I'm in this stage, I'm in this stage, right? Start with you. Where are you in these different stages, you know? And then start looking at them and go, okay, where are they in these different stages? They say this, that means that they're here, right? That means I can go here now and we can move from there to the next stage together, you know? So I'm not really sure if I answered the question directly or not there. Brad, do you still have that question up?
Yeah.
Okay, can you just read through it one more time to make sure I didn't miss anything?
Okay, in terms of the system, at what point am I supposed to be romantically interested in a girl?
Okay, so let me answer that first. You are romantically interested in a girl in the middle of rapport. That's when you're romantically interested. You're interested in other ways in the beginning, of course. Like, you're just curious about who she is, whatever. Like, you're not asking questions about who she is, but you're, like, just interacting with her and being playful with her because you really think she's interesting, right? You think she's fun, right? But that's totally different than being romantically interested. Once she gives you a reason that says she's different than other girls, that is whenever you start to become romantically interested in a girl. If she doesn't give you any reasons, then you can't do it, you know, because you don't have any reason to do it. So you'll basically just be throwing, like, you'll be saying to her, hey, look, I don't get women very often, so I need to move on this immediately without you showing me that you're attracted or showing me that you want to move forward or that you want to, you know, that you're physically comfortable with me. So what you want to do instead is in the middle of rapport, that's whenever you're starting to show romantic interest. Once you build rapport once, you can have this look on your face like, oh my God, you're different than most girls, right? You actually are different than most girls. Once you say that, you actually are different than most girls, and you say it during rapport. You don't say it during attraction. You say it during rapport. You actually are different than most girls, right? You can even say it in your head and just kind of like have that look on your face, or you can say it out loud. You can actually say you actually are different than most girls. You're pretty amazing, actually. Then you can be romantically interested and you can show that, right? If you're all romantically interested before that, it's really hard to hide it, and you come across as needy if you do it. So I would stay away from that at all, at any way, shape, or form that you can.
Cool.
Is there any other part of that, Brad, that I missed?
No.
Okay, cool.
Got it.
All right, is there anything else?
Yes, we have one more question.
Okay, great.
That's from, not sure how to say this, Ariel. And he's asking, what if you're younger than everybody else at the bar and everyone is a lot more mature?
What if you're younger than everyone else at the bar? You mean, are you underage? that's what I'm asking.
There are quotes around mature, so that's possible.
Okay. What if you're younger than everyone else at the bar and you're not as mature? Well, I guess, in this case, well, first off, if you're at a bar and you feel that way, keep in mind that attraction has nothing to do with maturity. In fact, it has the exact opposite. It has everything to do with the exact opposite of maturity. You know, it really is a bunch of nothing coming out of your mouth. It's just all silly and doesn't really mean anything, you know? So instead of thinking about maturity here, you're going to be thinking that, in fact, if you are a little bit younger and lighthearted, funny, and silly, it's going to work to your advantage. The thing that you don't have being a lot younger in an environment where there's a lot of other people that have been there for longer is you don't have experience in that environment. So my advice to you is to get comfortable in bars as fast as possible. The best way to do that is to either A, work in a bar, even if it's just for 6 months or something, work there, bartend or something, you know. Or B, go to a bar before they are really busy, like when they're really slow on a weekday or something, and just shoot the shit with a bartender and get to know the bartender some and get to know the bouncers and just like chat with them a little bit, order drinks, hang out, read a book if you want to while it's not busy, read a book at the bar or something. Don't read a book at the bar when it's really busy though. But you know, whenever it's not very busy, just read a book or something or hang out or do a crossword puzzle. I don't really care. But just get comfortable in the environment and talk to the bartender a bunch and stuff. Now, this is what's really important. Confidence is usually defined as your belief in your ability to do something, period, right? So I may be confident that I can surf, right? I can surf if it's like six waves or 6 foot and I have a longboard or something or a shirt, but I'm pretty confident I can go surfing and I'd be okay, right? I'd walk out there knowing what I was doing and I've done it before, so I feel very comfortable with that and I've been doing it for a long time. But if you were to say, okay, well, let's take a beginner or something. Let's say it was like, okay, I have to play water polo, right? Or I'm going to be racing horses. I'm not very confident in that at all. I don't know how to race horses. I've never done it before. I've ridden a horse that's running, but I've never raced one, you know? So I would come in looking like I'm immature in that area. I would not know how to do stuff. I wouldn't understand. I wouldn't know the rules, things like that. And that would cause me to keep my mouth shut and to drop my value, you know? So instead, you have to sort of learn the rules and learn how things are and get comfortable in the environment. As soon as you know you can walk into a bar and you know how to handle yourself, then you'll be able to feel like you're the same age as everybody else. So if you're going in, you're underage, that's a little bit more difficult, you know,
He said
because.
he's just a young college student.
Okay, so he's not underage then. Oh yeah, so then you're fine. You just gotta get to know people and go on a day that it's not very busy and get to know the bartenders especially. Because when you start doing that, you start to get comfortable. And when I first started doing this too, I actually had to get a job as a bartender before I could even come close to feeling comfortable about, you know, going into bars. I had to spend like a ton of time in bars to the point where I was like in a bar and there's a lot of people there and I was working and I was actually aggravated, right? I was like, look at all these fucking assholes, you know, in my head. I was so comfortable with the environment that I was now like allowing myself to be agitated by the customers, right? I was so in my own, I was so far on the side of being a bartender and like being the guy who has all the value all the time, the guy who controls everything, that I was now looking at everyone else as like my subjects, you know. These are all my guests here, you know, and everyone's being loud and obnoxious, that kind of thing. So now that may sound terrible to some people, but it helped me a lot whenever I was going to bars because then after that I was like, I get it. I get it. It's not all about standing here looking for chicks, you know. There's also like a dude running around picking up drinks with a bus pan. There's also a guy up there throwing bottles into the trash when they're empty, like constantly, and putting, you know, pouring 50,000 gin and tonics, you know, in a day. And so you start to get this different view of everything and you start to feel really comfortable in an environment. I would do it in one place until you feel really comfortable there, and then switch over to try to go to new places as well and really get comfortable with the new places too. So that's what I would do if I were you. Yo.
All right.
Word.
We do have one more question.
Okay.
Do we have time? Okay.
Yeah, we can do one more.
All right. John said, when I'm feeling confident, or when I'm feeling really confident, I act more sexual, confident, dominant, etc. in my vibe, much more of a sexual presence than just a friend. Is it right or wrong for this to be a default state because it contradicts what you say?
No. It doesn't contradict what I say at all. And I know exactly what you're talking about, and it's good that you're doing it. The when you're confident, that state that you're in when you're confident, where you're kind of like this sexual kind of guy, you're really just being cocky, right? You're being super straightforward and cocky, and your banter is can be sexual in nature. You know, it's just that whenever you do, when you have sexual banter, you have to just know you can use it well. If you don't use it well, sometimes it'll blow up in your face, right? So it's just a little more risky otherwise. But no, totally, man. Just use that. If it's exactly what you like to do, use it for sure. And you know, build it up and really play with it a lot. Now, if you're gonna be sexual toward a girl, meaning that you want to hook up with her, then if you do it too early, then you're screwing it up, right? If you do it during the attraction phase, you are screwing that up. But if you're just gonna be sexual and a sexual person in general, that actually can help you a lot because it then seeds in a woman's mind that you're a sexual guy, and she doesn't give you any resistance later on when you become sexual. She's not surprised, you know. She's not like, oh wait, he has a penis and he wants to put it inside of me. I didn't think about that, you know. It's better that you kind of make that known ahead of time. But instead of the oh, and he wants to put it inside of me thing, you just let him, you know, let him know that you're a dude, you know, and you can totally be sexual with that. And a lot of banter actually is sexual. It's just not coming on to them. You know what I mean? It's very different. It's very different than saying, you are a sassy little kitten, right? That's one thing. And then, hey, you're a sassy little kitten. Like, that's a different thing. You know what I mean? The first one is playful banter, but it's sexual, right? It's a little bit sexual. The second one is obviously sexual, and that's creepy if you do it too early. You know? You wouldn't use that in the beginning. So it's really not about so much having sexual tension and bringing up sexual, kind of like saying little sexual anecdotes or banter in the stage of attraction. That's totally cool. But what we don't want to do is direct it at somebody and try to get in their pants, right? You don't want to use it to do anything. You don't want to have an intention with it at all. So keep that in mind. So that is it for today's call, though I have something really important to announce, so I'm going to go ahead and do that now, so don't leave yet. Our next call is going to be, I think it is, this is the last one for this month, isn't it? Brad? I believe it is. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is, because we had three. Yep. So the next one's going to be on the 5th of April. And then we have two more next month. And the big announcement is that I am closing the doors on the Founding Members Club. That means that no one else can come in. The end of this month is the last month that anybody will ever be able to get back into the Founding Members Club. No one else will be able to get in. And at the end of next month, you guys are no longer going to be charged to be in here. I am locking the doors on the Founding Members Club and closing the thread. Not closing it so that you guys can't get it, obviously. You can always get the Founding Member stuff. But we're going to close the thread so that no one else can see it but you guys forever. Unless, of course, I want to let someone in to see it at some point, but I don't see myself doing that in the future. And we're going to open up a completely new thing that is really exciting, and I'll announce that sometime next month that you guys can decide to be a part of. But forever, you guys will be the only founding members. We had intended to only run the Founding Members Club and leave it open to guys who are, in the first, before we had too many members, essentially. And now we are, I think we have almost 9,000 members in the members area. And we're getting close to 10,000. I didn't want to get to 10,000 and still have the Founding Members Club open because it's getting too big in order to really say that you're a founding member. You can't like join today and then be a founding member and then, or join when there's 10,000 people and say you're a founding member. It's getting kind of bigger. So we're getting pretty much ready to close the doors on that. And these calls will always be here as a reference. The next three calls that we have are going to be the finale. So any questions that you guys have at all whatsoever, I want you to bring up. I'm going to be doing more tours coming up. I am going to be doing what I believe is going to be my final tour of all time, doing live coaching for myself, before I announce something really, really big to you guys, which is going to be really exciting. And I begin to bring on other really amazing expert coaches to begin to travel around the world to teach some of my most advanced techniques to the DAO members, and not least of which is going to be you guys because you're in the Founding Members Club. So anyway, I just wanted to announce that. It's sort of sad to see it stop and to see it go down, but at the same time, we're having a new rebirth of a new kind of program that I'm going to tell you guys about later, and you can check that out next month whenever it comes. Whenever it won't come out next month, but whenever it gets ready, you'll be the first to know about it, and you can transfer directly into it if you want to. But it's not going to be the same as this. So I just want you guys to know that this is the final month of the Founding Members Club, and soon it will be non-existent to anybody. So you guys are the lucky people to get in, and I just want to let you know that. So thanks so much for being a part of that, and I really, really appreciate everybody who's offered everything here. And the next phase of the DAO movement is just about to come into play, and I'm really excited about the things that we're going to do and the sort of difference that we're going to make to everything. And we're starting to advance people up through the ranks, and we're seeing people get really good. And it's just time for us to level up as a movement. And you'll see us doing that in the next month. So really exciting, and I really appreciate you guys being here. So thanks for being on the call today. I will see you on the 5th next month, where we're going to be talking about, let me go back and look at this, body language. Mostly, we're going to cover through everything we can through body language, and then I'm probably going to cover a different topic each week, and we're going to get through value as well and a few other things that are really, really important. Value is really, really powerful and really important to go through. So we're going to go through that stuff, but and body language. And of course, eye contact, and how to be dominant, things like that. So, and I'm also going to go through a list of true alpha behavior and then things you shouldn't do if you want to be truly alpha as well. So anyway, so thank you guys very much for that. And I said I'd actually get into some banter exercises, but I didn't have time to get into that today. So we'll have to save that for next time. If you guys have any questions, you can ping, submit those questions in the next Q&A. So if you want me to go over that, just remind me, and I'll go over that next call. So, all right, thank you very much. Thanks, Brad, for being here too. I appreciate it.
Course.
And I will see you guys later. Take care.
Bye, guys.